Blog Talk Radio. better information about your health care and participate
in your
care. Can
you hear
healthcare
me?
Is something. Yep.
Yes. Okay, so I am actually now being called. I think we're good.
Do you hear me, Adrian?
Okay. I can hear you, yes.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I wanted to tell Michael one more thing. So now that we're starting the show.
Now there's an echo.
Michael, she's going on her headset now, so hang on.
Okay. You hear me okay? You're hearing me? Michael, can you hear me?
No. Now I can. Yes.
Okay. Good. So I just want to tell you that now that we're starting the show, what happens is we have four segments, and in between each segment we have a break where we can set up the next segment. The first segment is going to be what the program is all about and how you came to think it was important, just like we talked about, okay? Occasionally I have what they call a drop-in where I have something pre-recorded that goes in, and then we resume our conversation. And the only thing to know is that at the end,
I lost you.
Music.
Are you
hearing me? Okay.
Now I am. You dropped out.
Okay. So at the end of every segment, there's music. I know when it's coming and you don't. So should you hear the music, just wrap up your sentence. Because what it means is that we're going to a commercial.
Got it.
But usually I know it's coming and I'm talking at that time and I'm wrapping it up. Okay?
Okay.
Okay,
fair
good.
Enough.
So I'll be with you in a second, and we have to be silent for a moment. But I'll be right there. Stuart, are you ready for us? Okay. Okay. On the first segment,
yeah.
Just do, there's something called heart.
Heart, yes.
Yes. And you'll tell me when it's 10 seconds, okay?
I will. I'm just going to back up this phone up too so that it doesn't ring. Okay, 10 seconds.
Okay, we're ready in 10 seconds. You'll hear music. I'll introduce the show and you, and we're ready to rock and roll, okay?
Perfect.
Yes, we're ready, Stu. Go ahead.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrian Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And it is the truth about aging. Now, one of the things that we are thinking about all the time when it comes to aging is our own health care. And it's not just prevention or cure anymore. It's how do we feel through the process of our health care, too. That's really important. I just came back from one of the major conferences of nonprofits that deal in the field of senior housing and senior health care. It's called Leading Age. And more than anything else, they were looking at the emotionality of aging, the emotionality of healthcare. They were looking at things like biophilia. You know that name? The love of basically our biosphere, so that people go out into nature, no matter how old they are and no matter what their condition or mobility is. It's a whole new world of looking at healthcare as actually wellness. Healthcare as a process, not an event. And today we have somebody who's really taken leadership just in that kind of concept. His name is Dr. Michael Blackman. He's with Allscripts, and they are looking at the process of healthcare and really creating some important medical leadership with many, many hospitals, healthcare systems, with something called Care in Motion Suite that makes a difference not just in what it costs, how you're treated, but the actual outcome of all these procedures and processes on your own health and how often you end up back in the same business of taking care of yourself in the same old way. And they're trying to get out of that particular box. It's not going to be easy, but it's working all across the country. So thank you, Dr. Blackman, for being with us today.
My pleasure.
All right. Now, I don't think people get exactly how their world, their healthcare personal world, is affected by companies like Allscripts and the programs like Care in Motion. So just explain, because it's behind the scenes to most patients. So what is Care in Motion?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It is behind the scenes for most patients. As we think about Care in Motion, we think about it, we call it our population health suite. And what I mean by that is how do you care for, you know, people as a whole, and how do you ensure that we bring to people's attention and do what we know works. People love to talk about evidence-based medicine, and, you know, we think about all of medicine, the evidence-based portion is a relatively small piece, but if we can ensure that we get the things done that we know work effectively, we can hopefully, you know, improve outcomes, keep people healthier. But one of the things that we think about the way healthcare was traditionally practiced is that, you know, you'd get sick, you'd see the doctor, you'd go home. If you didn't get better, you'd go back. And that would be true whether it was an ambulatory practice or the hospital or the emergency department, whatever the case may be. But we also had this other group of people that, you know, felt fine and still do, and that's great, obviously. But there are things we can do to help them feel better. And how do we, you know, get those people in as well and worry about everyone and reach out to everyone as opposed to simply saying, you know, who shows up at the door?
Right, and the people show up at the door have a problem.
Correct.
So the idea is, how do you get to the people before they have a problem? So I'll give you a little bit of a quick background here and see how Care in Motion would treat something like this. I'm knocking on wood right now because I don't have a problem. And I call myself a positive deviant. And I promote being a positive deviant, meaning walking and embracing your aging and eating right and doing all the things that my experts on this show tell me to do. I try to be the model if I can. So yesterday I took a test, and it's called SECA, S-E-C-A. You stand on a machine for 17 seconds, and they tell you how much salt and how much water you have in your body. Of course, your weight, they tell you, but the more important, your body muscle mass compared to your weight and where you are on the aging scale. I was disappointed because I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I thought I'd be a little younger. But, you know, what can you do? So this gives me measurements of where I am and what I could improve through exercise and food, not medicine. So I'm one of those people who will come in when there's no problem. But how does Care in Motion work to get those folks who are not like me, they're just happy they don't have to go see a doctor, to get involved with their own health care?
Yes. Yeah, so as we think about, you know, Care in Motion and the suite from the provider side, so from the standpoint of a practice or a hospital, it has four pillars. The first pillar is how do you bring data together from multiple sources? Most people, you know, get their health care in more than one place. That data is not always shared effectively. How can we do that better and, you know, in part help reduce costs by not repeating tests, speed treatment, et cetera, by providing the best information we can. The second that sort of extends from that is what kind of analytics and other analysis can we do on top of that data to understand who, to the point you were getting to, who needs additional care, who hasn't come in. Because if I have a list of, you know, my patient population, you know, from either the insurance company or
right,
people who have been seen in the health system at some other point in time, you know, to pick a relatively simplistic example, I could say, well, who are the people who need a colon colonoscopy or a mammogram or make it a flu shot, which obviously on an annual basis is quite beneficial to reducing the chances of one getting the flu. And
right.
it, you know, as opposed to waiting for those people to call and to set up their appointment or go to the pharmacy to get a flu shot, how do we proactively reach out to them? And that gets to the third and fourth pillars, which are, you know, care management for people, mostly for people who are particularly ill who need additional help, but you could expand that depending on your resources. And finally, the last piece is that patient engagement component. What's the best way to reach out to this large population of people who aren't coming in an effective manner? You know, if there were only 100 people you need to reach out to, you could have people make phone calls to 100 people. That wouldn't be that hard. But make it 10,000 people or 50,000 people. You don't have enough people to make those phone calls. So how can we automate that? How can we, you know, push messages to people right where they are? I mean, most people today are carrying a smartphone. Can we push the message right to them, enable them to make an appointment or tell them where they can get their flu shot? With that simple reminder, we see that there's a tremendous difference in who comes in and who does not.
Yeah, I think that raising the consciousness is, it's really what my life is about, raising consciousness about the fact that aging and the extra 30 and sometimes 40 years that we're given that unexpectedly, because many of us didn't do anything about our own health to deserve it, but for many reasons we have it, that it's a wonderful time of life. But two, that you have more sensitivity to your own health status. And when you do have that, you will go in for the flu shot or the shingle shot or make sure you get your colonoscopy in so many and so many years and be proud of that and be proud of that. I think that one of the things, I'll tell you the truth, Dr. Blackman, one of the things we're missing, I think, in this country is an element of pride in the way we take care of ourselves. We have greater pride that we don't have to take care of ourselves. I don't have to do this. I never needed to do this. Instead of, I did it. And I'm trying to make that change, and I think that's so important for Care in Motion, because most of us aren't sick, but we're setting ourselves up for it, and I think that's important. Now, when we come back, though, I want to turn our attention to something we talked about during our break, and that was how things are paid for. You know, when I took the Zika test, I paid $50, and my husband took it too, so that was $100, right? However, that may save our health dollars in the thousands because we took this and we're going to do something about it. And yet it's not the way things are paid for. Now, before we leave, we have about a minute. I know you've got a website with some interesting blog stuff on, even for the consumer. Could you just send us to that website so we know how to read more about all this?
Sure. There's some great blogs on the Allscripts website. It's allscripts.com. allscripts.com.
Okay, and as ever, you all know, if you go to Generation Bold Radio, starting on Monday, all of this program will be archived. That website will be up there for you to read if you don't have a pencil and paper right now or you're not taking it down on your mobile device. You take a look at these blogs because this is why this show works. It gives you information from Allscripts that you would never have, because Allscripts is there for the business end, for the doctors, for the whole healthcare system in our country. And yet they affect your life in ways that you may not know, because they're not a company that you'll see, you know, during the baseball games or the football games, making these great big ads like cars do. So, and Allscripts affects your life maybe more even than your automobile choice. So we'll be right back. Don't you go anywhere. We'll talk about money.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
Okay, so you see how it goes. I think that's perfect. I think they really understand what you're trying to do. And in this next segment, we're going to talk a little bit about the money part of it.
Okay.
We can get into the comparisons too. Okay? Is that all right with you?
Mm-hmm. That sounds
now,
great.
Now, I always, during each segment, I always ask, is there any one particular thing that we're not talking about that you want me to make sure comes out?
I think one thing that sort of came from, as we're getting to the end of the first segment, you talked about, you know, engaging with healthcare. And one thing that I'd say is that healthcare is better if it's done with you as opposed to you. So the more you participate, the better off you're going to be.
Great. And we will start with that. Okay, Sue, so we're ready.
Will it drop in this time?
It may be. We'll see.
Is it going to be hard?
Yes.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, cause I am happy, and I freely admit, I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, 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 this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the fountain of truth about aging. Please give me your email. You can do that very simply. Everything we do for you is free of charge. And that means if you go to generationboldradio.com, give me your email, you will get our Monday newsletters. Really, people enjoy it. They're very, very short, but they give the heads up on our best guests. The best of the lot is always there in addition to the weekly podcast we do. We also emphasize our new blogs and what they're all about and give you a link to that. Discounts, actually, on a lot of goods and services that promote successful aging, and so much more. So that is generationboldradio.com. And this show will be archived there, or you can hear it and tell everybody. If they're on any podcast disseminator, they can hear this free of charge. There are no paywalls ever. And of course, we are syndicated on BizTalk Radio. All right. So let's get back to our guest. I have some, I think, a couple of provocative questions for him, except he brought them up. And he's Dr. Michael Blackman. He's with Allscripts, and he's taking leadership along with Allscripts in the Care in Motion suite. Now, I very much wanted you to know about it because you may be subject to some of the good news that's coming out of it and some of the good health effects coming out of it, and you may not even know it. So, Dr. Blackman, right during our break, you said, you know, I really want to talk a little bit more about patient engagement before we talk about the dollars. So explain what you meant about that.
What I meant is that, you know, if you think about healthcare traditionally, you go to the doctor, they tell you what to do, you go do it or not, as the case may be. And certainly if I think about some of even my older relatives, you know, what the doctor said was what they did. But I think the more people can be involved in their healthcare and take an interest and, you know, participate and learn, the better off they're going to be. Healthcare is certainly something that is better done with you than to you. There are a lot of decisions that you need to make, and frankly, more care is not always better care. Often it's not.
You know, I want to bring this out. I try to do it with every fiber of my body, but I want to bring out to the listeners that your healthcare is so much more in control. You are in so much more control of your healthcare than you think. You're in so much more control of your longevity, how many years you live than you think, and the status of your health. This you'll be interested in this, Dr. Blackman. On Monday coming up, I'm going over to Albert Einstein Medical School, and I'm visiting with Dr. Barzilli, and he did the centenarian study. And he studied people whose whole families lived past 100. And they basically, what he calls, die healthy. But very, very small amount of all of our longevity has to do with our genetics. Very small amount. And this is from the guy who's only been studying genetics. So much of it, in his opinion, is in our own hands. So let's talk about something like that. You said that the Allscripts Care in Motion is trying to reach out to people who aren't in a problem situation, who aren't in crisis, who aren't coming in, to get them to take healthcare into their own hands. Is it working? I mean, I get things like, come and get your audiology test. You know, I get a postcard in the mail, something like that. How is the outreach working? Are people responding, or are they just, you know, in the ether when it comes to their own health care?
The answer is, like anything else, it's a mix. But certainly we're seeing people who respond, and the easier we can make it for people to respond, the better the response gets. So to use the, you know, your postcard example, you then need to call the number or go to the website or whatever it says to do on the postcard. But if we can make that postcard electronic on your phone, and, well, all you have to do is tap here, well, now we've made it easier, and that increases the response rate.
Yeah. So now we also talk about the money. The other way to make it easier is if it's free. I used to have a friend that would say, if it's free, it's for me. That was his poem. So I said in the first segment that I took a test that I think is very valuable, a diagnostic test. But I paid $100 per couple. Not everybody can do that. We have a kind of a strange payer system, and you made a very wonderful, let's say, analogy between, or dichotomy between what we think about healthcare and how we pay for healthcare. Can you restate that for us right now?
Yeah, of course. I think if we think about healthcare in the United States, historically, I mean, one of the most fundamental question when designing a healthcare system to me is healthcare a right or is it a privilege? And wherever you come down on that dichotomy, you could make an argument and design a system to support that. However, you know, due to a variety of laws and other regulations and, frankly, practice, historically in the United States, we've treated healthcare like it was a right. We've paid for healthcare like it's a privilege. And that dichotomy, frankly, is fundamentally incompatible. So we have to look to see how do you, you know, what kind of system do we want to have? And certainly if you look around the world, there are a whole variety of systems that work in different ways. And certainly, you know, in the United States, we spend more money per capita than the next leading developed country. And frankly, if you want to use life expectancy as a surrogate outcome measure, our life expectancies aren't better. As a matter of fact, in a lot of cases, they're worse. So we're not necessarily
actually,
getting
doctor,
what we
you had
for.
The actual statistics a little old, but you had the actual statistics between the UK and the US. Can you repeat
sure.
that for our listeners? Because I was I was not a happy camper when you told it to me. So you tell it to them.
Yeah, so these numbers are a couple of years old, but and now a little bit higher. But in the United States, we spent roughly about $9,500 per person. In the United Kingdom, they spend roughly $3,400 per person. And in the United Kingdom, life expectancy for males was 80 years, and for females was 83. In the United States, it was 76 and 81, respectively. So about a third of the money, they were getting better life expectancy numbers. It is certainly fair to say that life expectancy is affected by a number of factors, not only healthcare, but healthcare is certainly a big piece of it.
Yeah. So I'm going to add another one of those. I just went to a conference in Washington called Metabesity, and I did an article on our blog about it. You should know about it. But the fact is that the analysis is even a little worse than Dr. Blackman is telling you, because although we spend more than any other first world nation per capita, as he says, our HALE, which is health adjusted life expectancy, meaning not just our long years, but how healthy we are during our long years, is not as good. So it's not just that we don't live as long, but we're healthy every minute of it, and they're not. It's the opposite. They are living longer, let's say in the UK and other areas, and healthier longer. And that's really the goal. The goal, I know, because all of you say, oh, you're a longevitist, but I don't want to live that long with Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or in decline. Well, you don't have to. That's not the objective here. It's living longer and healthier. And we'll talk a little bit more about that and the payer system when we return.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy. And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da.
Okay, so when we come back, I want you to give the Allscripts website again, because I think that
okay.
people will go. They'll be interested in that. And now we can talk about it. I don't think it's too political. to mention these issues of healthcare and different ways and different paying systems. With regard to Allscripts, are you going out of the U.S. as well?
We do.
Here. I'm just asking you. You do.
Yeah, Allscripts is in about 17 countries. We do a lot of work in the U.K., in Israel, Singapore, Australia, amongst others.
You know, I'm working with the United Nations, and I'll send you something later on. They do have a committee on aging, and their big push now is to convince countries, including the U.S., to put more money into areas of aging and how much money they will save if they promote healthcare among their, like the engagement side that you're talking about.
Yeah.
I think they might be very, very interested to hear what the Allscripts different experiences have been all over the world in 17 different countries. So that's a nice interface. And because of the different payment system.
I'm sorry, you cut out for a second.
You had said to me it's easier to talk about this in other countries.
Yes. It is the payment system.
Okay, that's
absolutely.
All right, very good. Then we're ready again. Stuart,
yes.
We're going to do the drop in at the beginning on heart.
Okay, very good. 10 seconds.
Okay.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, cause I am happy, and I freely admit, I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, 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 this is Adrian Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. Now, some of you, in fact, have been interested in me coming and speaking to your organizations. You know that I'm having a new book out at the beginning of 2020, and I'm very happy to talk about that. The name of the book is called Gusto. I know that that does not surprise you. That's what I named my book. So if you're interested in speaking engagements or webinars or seminars, please look at my website, which I rarely ever tell you about. I'm always telling you about the radio show. But it's very simply my name, adrianberg.com, A-D-R-I-A-N-E. BERG.com. And before we go back to our guest, Dr. Michael Blackman, and he's taking leadership in your health, but you don't know it. So I wanted you all to know about Allscripts Care in Motion Suite, which has four pillars, as he mentions to us. One of them is patient engagement. Another one, of course, is the outcomes for folks who do come in because they do have a problem, so there's less repetition, and others will discuss. I do want you to hear about one thing, though, and that is we talked about how much your healthcare is in your control. Hear this little clip about heart and what's new. I think you might be surprised. If you want a healthier heart, you've got to have friends. Significant sociologic studies reveal that socialization has a direct impact on physical and mental health. This probably comes as no surprise, but the extent of the impact is rocking public policy innovators. It seems that recovery from heart disease and stroke is significantly faster for people who have support groups. Married folks live longer and with less health issues than singles. A deeper dive shows that peer modeling is a powerful cause of better health when your peers exercise and eat nutritionally. There are so many factors that lead to better health for those engaged in robust relationships that healthcare dollars are beginning to seep into social connection programs. It's not yet clear whether socialization through social media can take the place of a face-to-face communication in improving health outcomes, but you can bet there'll be a study on that one shortly. Okay, so we're back with you, Dr. Blackman. Obviously, I played that, you know, perfectly for a reason, although it was recorded a while ago, because this idea of taking control and having holistic health is kind of new to us, and it's not that new in other countries. And as I asked you, you told me that Allscripts is in 17 other countries, How are you comparing it in terms of how these really important outcomes are delivered and costs to patients? It's very different in each country, and I don't think we realize that.
Yeah, there is no one single health system, and obviously there's a lot of discussion today about what should be the direction of the U.S. healthcare system. Depending on the payment structures and others, this discussion about looking at outcomes and becomes easier or harder. Clinicians and frankly everyone in healthcare has always wanted to do a good job. No one shows up to work saying I'm going to do a bad job today. That's just not what people do. But there are system constraints that make that easier or harder. So often when I talk about this topic with people outside the United States, they're like, oh yeah, we can do this because the payment system aligns better to support it. And we're starting to see movement in that direction in the United States, especially some of the work that's coming out of CMS, the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services in Washington, into way payments changing, looking at value, looking at outcomes, as opposed to the traditional, do something, get paid for it, what's known as the fee-for-service system.
Yeah, I think that's the punchline. What we have here now is just that, fee-for-service. You do something, you get paid for it. You do more, you get paid more. So the outcome for the person who's delivering the services could be better for their pocketbook if they do more. And you heard from Dr. Blackman in a prior segment that sometimes less is more. That's number one. And number two, an outcome would mean you don't have to repeat the treatment. And so now if you're measuring success by outcome and you're paying for outcome, you're paying in a completely different way. Now, I know you didn't want to get political, and we won't, I promise you. But we do talk about the single-payer system versus what we have now. Is the single-payer system, which some other countries have, better when it comes to these measurable outcomes, or is it just a different way of paying for things?
No, I think the question is not necessarily the system, whether it's single-payer or not, but the question I referred to earlier is healthcare a right or is it a privilege? Because certainly you could look at a country like the United Kingdom, where they have what is essentially a single-payer system. There is some private insurance that you can opt for, but essentially a single-payer system, versus, say, Germany, which equally has universal care, but they do it through multiple private payers. So there's not one way to do that. But if you get to the point of saying we're going to guarantee health care, at least some level of health care for everyone, that's really what drives the difference.
And it seems to me, too, that prevention and spending money on prevention makes a difference. And I think it is getting somewhere. I'm going to toss this to you in a second, but something very good happened the other day, very simple in my life. My husband went to our primary physician. And we are in a small rural town. I know when I say New Jersey, nobody thinks it's rural, but there is. And it's a very small little health care group. And what they did was, Dr. Blackman, they told him to go have a massage. I had never actually heard a doctor tell you to go out and have a massage or meditate. But they do now. And even down to our own little small area here. I think that this idea of prevention and holism when it comes to health care and taking control of your own healthcare is coming through. And you did talk about patient engagement when it comes to care in motion. Can you elaborate a little bit on that one?
Yeah, sure. The more you know about what's going on, the better informed you are, the more you can help in making decisions and making decisions that are right for you. Because people legitimately have different opinions. There isn't always an obvious path. And to some of the things we were alluding to before, how do you want to live? What degree of disability do you want to live healthy? And your choices affect those things. I have one of my favorite attendings when I was in residency training, not necessarily true at the margins, but about routine stuff we would see in the office. He loved to say, well, you can treat it and it'll get better in 7 days, or you can do nothing and it'll get better in a week. What do you want to do? and that's a fair discussion. All procedures, all medicines have some risk. It may be a small risk, but it exists. And so the more we can, you know, do things in a safe, effective manner, and the more the system as a whole can support that, the better off we're all going to be.
Yeah, and I think that we're also looking at new ways of looking at things. I mean, the Leading Age Conference, which I just went to, is kind of on my mind because they have memory care. These are people who are catering to consumers that have a lot of impairment, and they deal with memory care. And at one time, unfortunately, this was a place to be warehoused. When you would go in, you would just see people in wheelchairs. That's all you saw. Now, I walked through a few of these places, both in Connecticut and in California and different parts of the country. What am I seeing? I'm seeing pianists, people playing music, and the folks with the memory impairment conducting. I'm seeing them against all odds, painting and creating incredible things. I'm seeing them light up because the people who are coming to visit them know how to talk to them when they didn't know how to talk to them before. And when I see these breakthroughs, I know that we can do almost anything. So before we end this segment, let's go back to what you're doing technically from the point of view of technology. You already told us that you can alert us to different things we may be able to do for ourselves, like the flu shots and all these preventive things on our mobile phones. And more people have those than they have computers. But when we come back, what we want to talk about is all your tools, your arsenal, we'll say, of how you're reaching the patients, the hospitals, the doctors, and bringing it all together in this care in motion. The inside, the backside, let's say, of what's behind all this from the technology point of view. Because we do talk about robotics on this show. We talk about virtual reality. I want people to understand how much digital technology and health tech is affecting their lives every single day. I don't think that everybody realizes it because it is so behind the scenes and it's so ingrained in the way practices are. But finally, I'm going to ask you this question. Can we tell which hospitals, which doctors have this connectivity? We'll be right back.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
Okay, so can we tell, we're off the air, can we know if these better outcomes and these four pillars are behind our own health care? Is there any way for the consumer to know any of these things?
Without asking, not really.
Not really. Well, we have to say that because should they ask? I mean, is it useful?
Well, I think the question would be, you know, for someone who is generally well and being seen by, you know, going to their annual physical or every other year physical, whatever the case may be, and that's all they're doing, then it doesn't really matter. But if you have someone who is sicker, seeing multiple clinicians in different systems or different places, it's fair to ask, you know, how well is that information being shared from one clinician to another clinician? You know, are you finding that tests are being repeated? Are they asking? You may know when they say, oh, so I understand you saw this specialist. What did they tell you? As opposed to them actually having the information. There's a clue. But the other question is, okay, it may be there, but how accessible is it to the clinician? Is it something they use as part of their workflow? And the answer is variable.
Okay, so we'll definitely get into that up front. The other is the business of that we talked about a little bit, and that is all your arsenal. I call it the arsenal of tools, but you did mention the mobile phone. Is there anything else that you want to let people know about, whether it's B2B, you know, it could be internal. It doesn't have to be to the consumer.
I think the internal stuff is, you know, it'd be nice to say that, you know, how am I going to put this? That, you know, all of this
you're
information.
You're off the air, so you can say whatever you want.
Yeah, no, that all the information that is in different places flowed together easily, but it doesn't. People use different coding systems, so the same test in one system may be recorded in a different way in a different system. And so one of the things we do in the background when we bring this data together is to align it so that, you know, a clinician can look across tests, across time, without in an easy manner. So
okay.
That's probably the internal piece.
All right. I think that's a good, very good answer. All right. Now, is there anything else that I am missing that you really would like to bring out?
Talked about that. We talked about fee for service. No, I think that pretty much
okay.
Covers it.
We're good. Stu, what segment are we on now?
I'm sorry, say something?
Yes, what segment are we on?
Last segment.
Okay, so this is the final.
It's 8 minutes, and do you want the store or do you want to go
down? Yeah, we'll start with the store and then we'll go. We're very good.
You want to do the store?
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
It's very quick.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, hello, hello. I say this every week, but I can't believe that we're at our last segment of the week. So I will do my one and only commercial. This is Adrian Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And if you go to generationboldradio.com, you'll be able to put in your email and get our monthly, weekly Monday heads up on our great guests of the week, the podcasts that have come out, other hints and tips that I've discovered about successful aging that I think will affect your life in a positive way. And you'll also learn about our store. Now, we're going to give you a little bit of information on it right now, the Generation Bold store. Hooray, our Generation Bold store is up and running. Just visit our website, generationboldradio.com, for access to unique products and services like luggage forwarding for your next trip, gorgeous Brazos canes and hiking sticks, Wander Club charms to commemorate your every adventure. I handpicked everything in the store to add fun and ease to your life. It makes a great gift, it's priced right, and it's of the finest quality whatever has been selected. All these items truly enhance my life, and I want you to discover them as well. Visit GenerationBoldRadio.com and see for yourself. Okay, and by the way, I responded to you. We have just added this week diabetic meals and meals for healthy eating. So that's the first time we've done that because that's what you want. So that's what you got. So that's generationboldradio.com and visit the store. Now, let's go back to Dr. Michael Blackman. He is with Allscripts, and he's taking leadership along with Allscripts in this whole concept of care in motion. Having everybody that touches your healthcare be connected with each other, and also reaching out in a variety of ways through technology for patient engagement. So let's go back, Dr. Blackman, to what we were talking about before, and that is you talked about the mobile app, but you do have other tools, other technologies that you use, both for the consumer but also among their healthcare providers. And what you said to me was interesting about why that's not a given, why it isn't so clear that a patient's various healthcare providers will all be in sync, will all be coordinated. We think they are, but I guess not. So can you explain that?
Sure. I mean, one connecting everybody together is actually real work. People use different systems, which is completely understandable. But more importantly, even within those different systems, the coding structures aren't always the same. So test A and system A doesn't always match up with test A and system B. And if we want to put the information together in a way that makes sense for clinicians to easily review it, we have to align test A and test A together so they can see them together, trend them over time, things like that. And one of the things we do at Allscripts is to, you know, align that data in the background to make it easier to understand and easier to see. There is tons and tons of data, and we need to make it as easy as possible for clinicians to review that information, you know, when appropriate, obviously, you know, within their workflow. If we make them go someplace else to see it, it's difficult to do. The other piece is we think about, you know, connecting with patients and presenting the information. You know, I'm a primary care doc by background. Being a primary care doctor is a very busy day. You have a patient scheduled every 15 minutes if you're lucky. If you're not lucky, it's every 10. And you have patients ranging from relatively young people with minor complaints or concerns to other people with multiple chronic conditions all scheduled in those same kind of spots. You want to give everybody the best care you can. And when you have someone with a relatively minor condition, you know, as a primary care doc, the first response at some level is, oh, good, this will take me less time. I can catch up because I just spent 45 minutes with someone who needed that 45 minutes, and I'm happy to spend it. But they were in a 15-minute slot, and so people start wondering, you know, why doctors run late. That's one of the reasons. But so taking advantage of every opportunity with the patient so that younger or healthier patient perhaps may have things that need to be done, but because you're focused on getting back on schedule, you may miss that their tetanus is out of date or that they're overdue for their colonoscopy if that's not the reason they came in to discuss. So how do we enable the clinician, frankly, how do we enable the entire care team to recognize that and take advantage of every opportunity we have with the patient when we see them, no matter what the setting?
And so this information that's integrated is what's going to do it. So we have only a couple of minutes left, but here's my question, which I think is important for our listeners, the most important question. How do they know? How do they know, or can they know, that you are there, that this kind of integrated system where everybody's on the same page is being offered to them? Do they have to ask, and will they get an answer? And will the people they're talking to, maybe the nurses, even know? What's the scoop there?
The answer is it's somewhat variable. I think in a lot of cases, you know, and frankly most cases, patients won't know without asking. I think it's a perfectly reasonable question to ask, especially if you're being seen by multiple providers in different settings, to say, you know, do you have access to my other records? Is that something you tend to look at as part of your normal course of business? If you're seen by, you know, multiple specialists, let's say, and somebody's saying, so what happened at the cardiologist, or can you get me the notes from the cardiologist? That's a clue it's not connected, or at least it's not connected in their workflow. And it's also possible, part of your question, that the staff may not realize it's connected because it may be in the system in a place that they're not familiar with looking. So asking those questions, I think, is more than reasonable.
Well, I thank you so much. You know, we're at the end of our show, and one of the things I do at the end of every show is I give everybody my pep talk. But this pep talk for today is more important, perhaps, than in other shows, because I'm asking you really to get out there and take control of your own aging. That's really what my line is. Go ahead and realize that whether it's genetics, whether it's whether your mother or dad didn't make it past a certain age, you don't have to duplicate what's happened with your family. And you don't have to stand for bad health care, no matter what the dollars are. You really have so much, 80%, they say, or more of your longevity and health in your own hands. So as I say every single week, thank you to my guest. And get out there, kids, and make it happen.
I'm inappropriate for our age.
Okay. Pretty good, right?
Yes.
I think we covered a lot. So I don't know how you want to use this, but we, of course, have it on the air. We also archive it so that people could see it all the time. I put it on my LinkedIn. We have about 5,000 connections there, mostly in the field of senior health and healthcare. And I weave it into my blogs here and there when, you know, it could be a year from now, it could be next week, depends on, you know, what the topic is. And what would be great for me is if you guys have social media to post it on your social media, we'll send you a link.
I am sure that the marketing team will do that, but I will pass that along.
That's great. So now when you go back, what's your role now? Talking to the various providers that might want to adopt Care in Motion?
So I do a variety of things. I do that, but I do a lot of working with the product team, saying what do we need to do, how do we take it, what do we take it forward, and sometimes, you know, working with our user interface team, simply to say, all right, this is the information that clinicians find useful, and you know, how do we make it simple and put the right information in front of people, and things they use less often we bury. You know, the engineers like to put, you know, well, we need this system tracking number, and therefore, you know, we'll put it on the screen. I'm like, the doctors don't care. The nurses don't care.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
It needs to be accessible, but it doesn't need to be in their way. So move it.
Yeah. You know, when I go to facilities, I do something called lensing, looking at it through the eyes of the senior. I think you're a lenser. You're looking at everything
yeah.
they're doing through the eyes of the clinician, and you're kind of walking in their shoes when the others who are creating can't. They can't.
Yeah, I like
so
that.
That's what it's a, right, you're lensing. You're like a clinician whisperer. So
yeah, I try to do it. Yeah, I try to do it both from the clinician perspective and, frankly, from the patient perspective.
Okay.
And, you know, people sometimes worry about the funding and the money and other pieces, all of which are important, because without it, you can't move forward.
Right.
But I firmly believe that if you keep what's best for the patient in focus, the money will generally follow and take care of itself.
Yeah, I was talking this morning to a group called See You Link, which is here. It's also in the UK and here in Australia, and they are they connect consumers to remote computing and being able to browse the internet and medication management, things like that. And we were talking about doing a webinar or maybe even with video, we're not sure, with a group that are dealing with technology and age tech. And Allscripts might be interested in doing something like that. We'll have K4 Connect, Touchtown, See You Link, and all of these are groups that are within communities. In other words, it's the senior communities that adopt this technology. But none of them are working outside of the communities for that healthcare piece for the individual resident, except you, that I have had on the show. So I'll send you an invitation when that's up and running, and we can do
Please.
Something like that as well. Okay.
Absolutely.
And you let me know, or let the marketing department know, to tell me how you're using this, because I want to improve it also for our guests. Okay.
Okay, will do.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
Take care. How is it, puppy?